Hello, this is Gerd Leonhard, futurist and CEO of the Futures Agency. I'm meeting today with a good friend and my colleague, Rudy De Waele, Shift 2020 founder, and the guy who's currently doing most of the blog on the Futures Agency. Though today we're sitting here talking about the future of work, and we figured we'd give you a quick update on what we're thinking. So, Rudy, in regards to what's happening with automation, robotics, do you believe that the future of work is looking good or looking bad?
Well, I think the future of work is all about happiness. Yeah, how can we create, better productivity while keeping the people happy in their work? Yeah, we have a lot of, there's a lot of issues now, and people are scared. There's a lot of questions of, you know, all this robotics, automatization, AI, and all that. People will lose jobs and all that stuff.
Well, the key question is, will people be happy without work?
Yeah, well, right? that's the other question, right? So what are we going to do, you know, when we're not working? Yeah, so, but I think for lots of companies, the key question is, like, how can they keep their people? How can they attract people, and how they keep the people happy at work?
Well, what about if companies don't actually need people for the work? Because, you know, for example, a call center can replace 90% of the people who work there with robots and software. So they cut down from 100,000 people to 10,000. Or, right, what's going to happen to the other guys?
Well, I think there will be lots of opportunities for in those areas, right? Of like how people will entertain themselves. Or what will we do with all that time? Yeah, so there will be, I think, lots of things in well-being, health, creativity, workshops, going back to things that we used to do things with our hands, you know, make things, because these are the things that make us happy.
Yeah, I tend to think the same thing, but of course, at the same time, you could picture people like financial analysts, you know, who are being replaced by IBM Watson. Or cab drivers who might be replaced by Uber cars driving themselves and stuff. Those people are not going to be in the creative business just because they're, and who's going to pay them, right? So in Western countries, it's basically, you know, capitalist concept is you produce, you get paid, you get to live, right? If you don't produce, you don't get paid, you don't get to live, you know? Yeah, it's basically a very clear-cut deal. Also, a lot of people are dependent on work because it's the only thing that keeps them going in a regular way, right? It's very much, you get measured by the work you do, right? The value of life is about work for a lot of guys. So that really, technology changes that makes it abundant, right? So the garbage people will be robots, and the financial analysts will be software, and the call centers will be software. And so I think this time we're really going to face a principal decision that it's not going to be the same, making a living and working will not be the same thing, right? And so what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think these are the major questions for society, right? Because it's about changing systems over time, yeah? So certain systems won't work anymore, yeah? So it's true that we, you know, many people, they want to stay busy and have something to do. And even more, they want to do things that, you know, make sense, yeah? That have a purpose. That they can identify with. So I think the companies of the future and the winning companies of the future will be companies that will create work in these areas. Yeah. So, and it's true that many of these jobs or repetitive tasks and all that will be replaced. Yeah. So the big question is, like, how much money will the robots and all this automatization generate for humans to do new things with?
Well, right now it's very likely that they will generate money for the companies that use them, right? I mean, if Amazon lays off 100,000 people in the warehouse because they have robots flitting around, they're certainly not going to give that money back to the unions. They may give it back to the customer to some degree, but, you know, if a corporation becomes that much more profitable, should we force them to give the money back into re-education of laborers? Should we make that, like, for example, tax for automation? An automation tax?
Yeah, well, I think tax is always a big thing, but we will have to go to a system where the money will flow back to society, right? So not everything can be individualized, you know, and not any idea can be turned into a startup. Yeah, of course it can, but.
That's all right, we can keep on. I think that, you know, the key question here is that when you're looking at what's happening with companies, clearly it's not the capitalist principle is when you can save money, you will. And usually the employees are the first order of saving, right? So the airline will not have pilots because they can save 80% of the cost, right? Will that be passed on to us? And what will the pilots do once that becomes reality and so on? And these are large societal questions, which are essentially, in my view, if you go there and you're saying, well, they're doing this and it's not collective good, then it's basically the end of capitalism, right? And so this is a very big question. And how do we prepare people like our kids, right? How do we prepare them for this world of where it's going to be about the right brain? You know, it's going to be about things that can't be replaced. Most people aren't prepared for that. So it's, to me, it's a question is, what do we do with education if the work is going to be so different, and if we may eventually work not for a living but for our self-realization? You know, some people do that. I think some futurists have been known to do that for self-realization. Then how do you learn how to deal with self-realization, right? What would you say about education, for example?
Well, I think, the whole education system is due for a big reshuffle too, right? So I think there is a big gap between actually what type of jobs are available and what kids are learning, and then also what type of skills they have, you know, at age 16 or age 18 or when they come out of an MBA or whatever. There's lots of jobs now that are totally different than what is taught in the academic world, or in education.
Well, most of it, really.
Most of it, yeah.
So what would you say to the universities? Because, you know, you're producing MBAs and they learn all this stuff that may no longer be applied.
Well, I think there will be a lot of people that actually have experience, you know, in a certain area will start, you know, educating people, you know, in a different basis, you know. They will set up their own workshops. They will set up their own boot camps. They will invite people from any age, any target group, and for very specific camps. Yeah, and I think the learning system of the future will be something like that. Yeah, so there will be a lot of offer, but we will have the offer to pick, to plug basically into whatever we want to learn.
Yeah, well, I think that's a good idea. I'm just wondering if it's utopian, you know, idea that we would be able to do so, because in the meantime we're suffering because we're not working, or we're not working enough, or...
Well, it's a bit like the whole startup ecosystem, right? So if you would say 20 years ago, like, you know, the whole, all businesses are going to be, entire sectors are going to be disrupted by startups, yeah? Like, so what's happening in publishing or media or fintech now, for example, right? Yeah, the whole banking sector is going to look totally different in 5 or 10 years. Why? Because startups do things a lot better in a very specific area, yeah, with a small team. So, and I think in education it's going to be the same, yeah?
Well, I think that's true. The thing about startups, of course, what we're seeing in fintech and stuff, they are primarily about disruption. And I'm always wondering how they're going to construct something. I mean, it's very easy to disrupt education, but will you actually construct a new sensible way of education? I mean, the Khan Academy and all these Coursera, they are disrupting education, but are they constructing a new system that gets people ready for the new jobs in 5 years? I'm not so sure. They're basically parallelizing this.
Well, of course, the whole system is not going to be disrupted or changed like that. But one of the first questions that, you know, they could start asking in high school is like what the kid actually is interested in, and then what, from an academic perspective, the kids should learn at a certain age. Yeah. So, and I think already adapting to that model would give a very different type of education. Yeah. So a bit more bottom up type of approach, as we see in many other sectors, could do a lot of good for actually people finding their way. How many students come out of university? They have been studying for years and they still don't know what to do.
Yeah, that's. I think that's partly because most of the activities there are about left brain activities, you know, rational planning, you know, crunching numbers, doing stuff, learning for later, storing information, not actually expressing themselves. And that's really the shortcoming. I think for most people that go on to work in companies, they're just kind of fulfilling a role, you know, rather than actually... I think this is the biggest challenge for work and jobs. Most of the jobs will not be there, because when you fulfill a narrow role, then the computer will eventually take over, right?
Yeah, and they change very quickly, you know. So a job that may be hot now may not exist anymore in 5 to 10 years. It's not like you can create a career like, you know, like our generation has been doing. You know, even we have been changing a couple of times our career. Yeah. So, and but most of the people still now are in a career or finalizing a career they have been doing for 20 or 30 years.
Yeah, actually, my next career will be a cyborg, becoming a cyborg. You know, so I can have my own mental part removed, and I can chill somewhere while the Borg is doing the work. Right? No, just kidding. But let's quickly summarize. So, my view on the future of work and jobs is that we are facing a significant disruption. I think that's actually true. It's not going to be like the industrial age where there is a lot more new jobs because of the disruption. So that means we have to go back to the human factor of what we do for work, in my view. And also means that society is changing from this capitalist view of to post-capitalism, which has been called post-capitalism, to create a collective system where everybody is enjoying what they're doing, regardless of necessarily working for a living. That's probably 10 to 15 years away. For our kids, it means going back to the right brain, that's kind of an old-fashioned approach anyway, the left and right brain thing. But going back to the right activities, you know, the emotions, the intuition, all the things, the passion, all these things that have gotten lost on the other part, and that's the future of work, in my view, is to look for that kind of work. Do you have a summary for that, or?
Yeah, I think it will be, well, it will take time, right? These type of changes, they're not going to grow over 5 or 10 years. They're probably a couple of decades. But yeah, change is to come. And every type of large corporation will have to adapt to these changes. And, they will have to adopt to the startup speed of innovation, how to innovate in teams, like how to put the humans back into the center while using and adopting the technologies that are fit for their business. I think it's going to be quite an exciting time, especially for me. The area that I'm very interested in is like, what are we going to do with all that time if we're not working?
Yeah, maybe we should go back to some of the what the Dalai Lama, for example, has said about the future of where he said that ethics is not the same as religion. There's a whole thing about this where he talked about what it means in the future to be a human and to work, right? So there's a lot of things happening. I think it's only actually happened in the next 10 years. We really have to look at this. So we've got to stop here because, time's running out. So if you want more information, you can go to futurevistgerd.com. That's my website. And Rudy is at shift2020.com. And the Futures Agency, of course, is thefuturesagency.com. We run a whole bunch of stuff on Twitter. So it's at mtrends for Rudy and shift2020, shift_2020. And I'm G. Leonhardt, which is impossible to find. Just Google for it. And thanks for tuning in, and talk to you down the road. Bye.